All right, boys and girls, before we read the Bible in church, we always like to have a quieter time just to prepare our minds to listen to God's Word. So we're going to remain seated and we'll sing, "Be Still and Know That I Am God." And if I can just let the readers know, I'll call them up when they're required. Okay. But let's now sing together, "Be Still and Know That I Am God." Well, boys and girls, whenever this service comes around, I start to think about my holidays, because I know that holiday time's coming up very soon, and I know that you'll be going away on holiday soon as well, hopefully. Are any of you going to a place where there's a beach? Hands up if you're going to a place where there's a beach. Oh well, hands down. And what do we like to do on a beach? Tell me some of the things we like to do on a beach. Nothing. Yeah, yes. Go in the water. Yes, we go in the water. Anything else we like to do on the beach? Yes. Build sandcastles. I'm very glad you said that, because that's really what I want to speak about, first of all, today, is building sandcastles. Because it's great fun to build sandcastles. The only thing about sandcastles is that they don't last very long. Now, I've got some sand here, which I'm going to pour out. You see it? Now, it's not really the best stuff to build, is it? Because if you build it, hands up, if you've spent a long time building a sandcastle and somebody's come along and kicked it over or something like that. Put your hand up. Yes, one or two. Yes, one or two over in the band. Yes, hands down. Hands up if you built a sandcastle and it's been too near the water and the tide has come in and taken the sandcastle away. Well, even more. That's very interesting. Because sand, I mean, you can see what it's like here. It's not really the best thing to build with. I remember one year I was on holiday in Mallorca and there was a sandcastle. Well, it was actually called a sand sculpting contest. You know, we would call it sandcastles. And there was these wonderful sculptures that were made. People were making palaces and cathedrals and castles out of sand. And there were lights inside them and all kinds of colours. And you just thought it was the most lovely thing that you'd ever seen. But I also felt a wee bit sad, because all it would take would be for somebody to come along and step in the wrong place, and the castle, the palace, the cathedral would come down, or else for the rain to come down and wash all the sand away. Sand's not the best thing that we can build with. What about card? Now, you see, one of the things I used to do if it was raining when I was on holiday, was to build a house of cards. A house out of playing cards. You're really impressed. All you folk with your Game Boys and your iPods. This is what really absorbed me, was trying to build a house with cards. And I'm going to do it again, just so that I'm going to prove to you that it can be done. I can see the expressions on your face. Right, now there's a... Just give me a wee minute. We used to start off with two cards, like that. Right? And then you may get another two like this. Never feel like Tommy Cooper. Right, here we go again. See, you can build a house of... This is very difficult, you know, but... Well, you see how difficult it is to build a house. So it's not a good idea. You were able to build cards to quite a height. But all it would take would be for a big brother to come along when you'd built up a house of cards. And what do you think he would do? He would go, and that's the end of it. You spend hours. You see how difficult it is to build a house of cards. And you build it up high, and somebody would come along and blow it. And that would be the end of your house. So, not a good idea to build with card. But there's another idea that I got one year when I was in Belgium. Now, Belgians like their chocolate, don't they? They like their chocolate very much. And I actually saw a house that was made out of chocolate. Could you believe that? Now, it was all wee kind of bricks of chocolate like this. Stand back. And it was all kind of built up like that, you see. All the walls were made of chocolate. And the roof was made of chocolate. Everything was made of chocolate. But can you tell me why it might not be a good idea to build a house made of chocolate? I mean, yes. Pardon? It might melt, that's right. But I'm just thinking about you folk living in a house made of chocolate. I doubt very much if there'd be much left after a wee while. You'd want to eat it, wouldn't you? A house made of chocolate would melt, or somebody would come along and eat it. And if you see me at the back of the church later on, I might give you some of my chocolate. But we'll see how things go. So it's not a good idea to build a house with chocolate. The best thing that we can do, I mean, look at those stones. Look at these bricks, these huge stones here. That is the best thing that we can do if we are going to build something that's going to last. I mean, this building that we're in just now is over 100 years old. Well over 100 years old, and it's still here because the proper materials were used. Not sand, not carved, not chocolate, but these stones, these bricks, these huge boulders were made. But even when you've got lovely stone like this, an awful lot depends on the stones being on something very, very firm. The stones being built on something very, very firm. Does somebody know what we call that? What we build the stones on, build the stones up from this. That's the foundation, isn't it? Foundation is very, very important if we're going to build a place like this. And, you know, looking back to the very early days of the church, the Apostle Paul, he used to describe himself as a church builder. Not that he would build places like this. He always said that the church was the people. People of God, no matter what age they were, no matter what their experience of life, people to God together was the church. And what he wanted to do was to build that church, to bring more and more people in to know the story of Jesus and to love him and to serve him. But Paul also realized the importance of having a good foundation for this work. And that's what we're going to hear about now, as Alison, I think, is going to come forward and read to us from one of Paul's letters, where he speaks about himself as a church builder. Can you just tell us where it comes from, Alison, when you're reading?
1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 15. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, although only as one escaping through the flames.
Well, thank you very much, Alison. I wonder if you heard what Alison said there. Paul said that the foundation for the church is Jesus Christ. Now, I wonder what he meant when he said that. I think probably we'll understand more of that when we hear some words of Jesus. But before we hear some words of Jesus from Murdo, who's going to read to us, before we do that, I want you to tell me, do you remember what Jesus' father did for a living? Can anyone remember that? What did Joseph, Jesus' father on earth, do for a living? What did he work at? Joseph was, yes? He was a carpenter, that's right. And he trained Jesus up in the work of a carpenter. Now, we tend to think of carpenters as being people that work with wood, and that's about it. But in Jesus' day, carpenters were actually house builders. They were more involved with the overall building of houses rather than just working with wood. And this is what Jesus would have in mind when he spoke the words that Murdo is going to read to us now. Where are you, my friend? Oh, there you are, with the back. Just take your time. Murdo's going to read some words that Jesus spoke in Matthew's Gospel. Bear in mind what I've just told you about carpenters.
Matthew 7:24-29. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
Thank you very much, Murdo. Now, we're going to think about these things a little later in the service. So we're very grateful to the readers. But now we're going to join together in prayer. Let's pray together. Now let's pray together. God our Father, we ask that you would keep us travelling with our Lord Jesus, that we would learn more of him and have the courage to embrace more of his ways for our lives. And we pray this in his name. Amen. So, if you were listening to the words that Murdo shared with us, Jesus was telling a story about two men, wasn't he? And one man, he went out and he built his house on sand. And the other man, he went out and he built his house on rock. And the rain came down and the wind blew and the floods came up. And which one of the houses was standing after the storm? Which one? It was the house that was built on. Yes. The one on rock. That's right. Now, you might think, with Jesus being a carpenter and being involved in building houses, that he was maybe just giving people a wee bit of advice on how to build a house. You know, if you're going to build a house in these parts, Jesus is saying to all his listeners, then don't build on sand, because the house won't survive very long if you do that. But Jesus was also giving us a bit of advice about building something else. Jesus was giving us advice about how to build our lives. Okay? Now you might say to yourself, how can I possibly build my life? Well, building your life is being the best that you can possibly be. Building your life is saying, yes, there's maybe things that I do wrong, but I want to do better. I want to build my life according to the kind of life that Jesus himself used to live. That's what it means to build your life. And when Jesus tells a story about two men building a house, he's also telling us something about building our lives, and something very important about building our lives. You know, sometimes I go into the gym down the road, and there's young men there, and they're pumping iron, you know, and they're doing pull-ups, and they're doing push-ups. Some of them have got muscles coming out of their ears. I'm quite convinced that is the case. And they're working very hard because they want to have a particular body shape, you know. And you can see them, you know, they're always, well, never mind. They're always kind of looking in the mirror and all that sort of thing to make sure that everything's going the way that it should. They're building up their bodies. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being fit, and there's nothing wrong with being trim. But quite often what I see is that there's somebody else standing next to them, and this person is speaking to them. And sometimes if they're slowing down a wee bit, this person starts shouting at them, you know, come on, so-and-so, you can do better than that. You know, let's get a wee bit more effort. You know, sweat it. That's what they shout, sweat it, sweat it. You know, it's extraordinary. Now, who do you think these people are? You know, you've got the guys that are pumping iron and they're making a big effort to build their bodies, and then they've got these other fellas who are shouting and bawling at them. Who do you think they are? Any ideas? Well, they're their personal trainers. You know, some of these fellas have got personal trainers who are barking out advice to them and encouragement and telling them the way that they should go. Now, Jesus, although I'm quite sure he had nothing against people keeping fit, and it's a good thing to do to keep fit, but it's not all there is to life. I think you could probably be the fittest person in the history of the world, but that doesn't mean that you're the kindest. That doesn't mean you're the most helpful. That doesn't mean that you're spreading the love of Jesus as it should be spread. You know, and that is what's the most important thing if we are going to build our lives, boys and girls. It's that we listen to the words of Jesus, that we take them into ourselves, that we think about them, and then we ask ourselves, how are we going to put this into practice? That's what Jesus himself said in that teaching that Murdo read to us. Jesus said the best foundation for building your life is to listen to my teaching and to put it into practice. That is what is going to make a difference to the world. You know, I look out at the world and I see that there's just too much that's wrong. You know, there's too many people who are doing bad things. There's too many people bringing pain into the lives of others. There's too many things that need to be done to help other people to have good lives. And that's only going to happen if we listen. We're only going to be able to help them if we listen to Jesus' teaching and to put it into practice. That's how we build our lives. That's how we spread the kindness and the love of Jesus throughout the world. You know, that wee bit that Murdo read to us, it comes at the end of a whole lot of teaching that Jesus gave to his disciples. And he said to them that this is the way we go. If we want to make a difference to the world, then this is the teaching that we have to follow. And at one point, he said something a wee bit strange to his disciples. He said to them, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth." Now, what did he mean by that? Well, in those days, they didn't have fridges. They didn't have things that would keep meat fresh. And so they used to rub salt into the meat. And that kept the meat good. It kept it fresh. And Jesus is saying, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the people who are going to keep everything good in the world. Everything fresh. Everything that will make a difference to everything that's wrong." And he also said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden. You are the light of the world. Wherever you go, you shouldn't spread the darkness of hatred and jealousy and all the things that make life bad for people. Wherever you go, you should be spreading light." So the way forward for us, if we are interested in building our life so that we are salt and light, is to listen to Jesus' words and to put them into practice. That's the best foundation we can ever have for our lives. Now let's have a prayer together. God our Father, we give thanks to you for Jesus. Thank you that he saw things that were wrong and wanted to sort them out. And so we pray that you would help us to listen to all his words. Not only to listen, but to put them into practice. The best foundation we could ever have for our lives. We pray this in his name. Amen.